Blog Talk Radio.
Support the local businesses you love by visiting the MT Virtual Spotlight Shop.
Good evening, everyone. Truly, this is the day that the Lord, He hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I want you to listen to this young man sing it. What a mighty God we serve. One day he's coming back. You hear what the songwriter is singing and dancing about. One day he's coming back. What a glorious day. I tell you. I truly give honor to God on this evening, for this truly is the day. Like I said this morning when I answered my sister Evangelist Jackie's text, I'm telling you, her Facebook notice she put out there for those of you to get on tonight that's connected to her page. And I tell you, I just had to give God the praise this morning. I had to give God the glory, because it is the day that the Lord has made. I can't tell you enough that it is the day that the Lord has made. It is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice. No matter what it holds, I will rejoice and be glad in it. How about you? What a mighty God we serve. Angels bowing before him. You're going to let the angels beat you out? I don't think so. I was at a spot today, and I saw on the back of a woman's vehicle. I'm going to see if I can pull it up, because I took a picture of it. I spoke to the lady. I was sitting at the Save-A-Lot store, and I said to the lady, "Ma'am, do you mind if I take a picture of this?" And she said no, she didn't mind at all. And I was glad about it, because this is what she had in her car window. She had parked right next to mine. And my sister Jackie will kind of understand it better maybe than some others, but it had on that great big red letter, said, "Do right." Listen to this. "Do right and give God." No, and give the consequences to God. Now, you know, I was glad to take a picture of that, but it said, "Do right." I said, "Ma'am, I'm not trying to bother you, but I like what you got on your back window there." And she said, "Oh." I said, "Do right and give the consequences to God." You know, you have to suffer consequences for what we do. So what this small symbol that she has in the window is telling you, do what's right and let God worry about the consequences. Do right and give your consequences, whatever the consequence is for doing what's right. Let God worry about it. Let God fix it. Let Jesus fix it for you, but you do what's right. My mother used to say, "You do what's right and let God do the rest." And then we had a guy at home, my sister will remember the young man at home, because he said, "Do right." Oh, bless his name. Do right, get right. So you got to do right to get right. And then the lady was so elated over the fact that I enjoyed what was on the side window. She said, "You should see what I have on the back." So I had to get all the way out of my car. And she had on the back of her bumper, "Do you follow Jesus this close?" So in other words, you know how we like to ride on people's bumpers when we're excited and want to get somewhere in a hurry. We ride on their bumper because we want to get there, and we want them, actually what we really want is for them to get out of the way. So we're riding right up, especially we New Yorkers, you're riding right up on the bumper. If they were to slam on brakes, you'd slam into them. That's how close you are. So her symbol on the back of her bumper says, "Do you ride this close to Jesus, or are you this close to Jesus?" I moved it now. I've left there, but I did say what it was at first. I have to go back and look again, and let's read it again. "Do you follow Jesus?" Now you're right up on her bumper. You close enough to read it, and it's asking you a question. Now, you riding my bumper, you that close to my car, I want to know from you, do you follow Jesus like this? I want to know tonight, are you following Jesus that close? Are you following the God of your creation? Do you follow Jesus? Well, the songwriter said, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow him. Oh, yes. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Hallelujah, Jesus. I have decided. Come on, sing with me. To follow Jesus. Sing. I have decided to follow him. Oh, yes, I have. I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, yes. No turning back. No, no, no. No turning back. But do you follow Jesus that close that you ride up on his bumper? My God, today, I told a woman, I don't even know her name, a Caucasian woman, and I said, I'm going to use this tonight on my broadcast. I said, I'm going to talk about the do right on my broadcast. And she said, but look at the one on my bumper. Do you follow Jesus this close? Can you answer that question tonight? It's a question. Do you follow Jesus? You, most of you that's listening, drive a car, so you know how far you be on people's bumpers sometimes. Only the grace of God that keeps you from hitting them. But do you follow Jesus that close? No turning back. No turning back. I tell you, God is worthy to be praised. I trust that you all had a very wonderful 4th of July Independence Day. That's what we say 4th of July is, Independence Day. You don't hear that phrase or term used like they used to use it years ago. But I was reminded that it's Independence Day. And yes, we had killings on Independence Day, but I've decided to make Jesus my choice. The road is rough, and the going, it gets tough, and the hills are hard to climb, but I started out a long time ago. There is no doubt in my mind, I decided to make Jesus my choice. I'm excited tonight about who God is and what God has done, and God is just worthy of all praise, all glory, all honor belong to him. And I just want to say thank you, God, for being so good to me. How about you? We made it through Independence Day without hurt, harm, or danger. The night before, Philadelphia area there, a mother lost her son to a gun. What is it? That gun is called an AR gun that these young people seem to adore for some reason. They have in their mind to shoot up a bunch of people. They don't want a gun that's just going to fire and hit one. They want a gun that can wipe out a lot of people at one time. They don't want to pull the trigger like the little guns that we used to play with, the little cowboy guns and holster that we run around the house shooting at one another, hollering pow, 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 pow. They don't want the pow, 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 pow. Anyone, pow, 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 pow. That's what they want. They want it to hit quick, take out as many innocent people as possible. My heart was bleeding for that mother on television, and she said, I can hear my son saying, why me? Why me? Oh, I tell you, it hurt my heart because I thought about my own family and how I lost a loved one to a gun. But God did allow him to talk to us before he left the earth. But even at that, the question is, why me? Why my nephew, God? Well, I didn't want it to be anyone else's nephew, but why my nephew? You just gave us a beautiful baby to love, and the baby has to come up without her dad. Why my nephew? Why God? But he knows what he's doing, and he's never lost a battle, and he never lost a case. We just have to trust him and believe that he makes no mistakes. And then we don't know when the babies are born, when our children come into this world, what the lifespan of the child is. Only God knows that. Only he knows if he will allow them to reach adulthood. God knows that. Not man, not the doctor, not even the mother who carried the child. She doesn't know that. She hopes that the child would reach adulthood. Like I told you last week in New York, we had a service for a five-year-old little child battled with cancer. You need to be thankful to God that you have lived to see some things. You have lived to see your children have children. You have lived to see your children finish high school and finish college. You have lived to see them get married and drive a car and own their own home or making mortgage payments. You need to say to the devil, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what came my way, I still got to tell God thank you for all that he's done for me and for you. I tell him, God, I thank you for my family. Oh, I bless your holy name, Jesus, that I knew who my mother and my father was. My sisters and my brothers, I know who they are. My cousins and my aunts, my uncles, I'm not searching for them tonight. And God, I tell you, thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercies to us on this evening. God, we give your name the praise. We give you all the glory, all the honor. I tell you, sometimes I feel like singing that song and never stopping. I feel like I need a bumper sticker. This is trouble in my way. I have to cry sometimes. I lay awake at night, but you see, look, then I come to my senses because I say, that's all right. When I start singing the song, trouble in my way, I have to cry sometimes. I'm having a pity party. Trouble in my way, I have to cry sometime. I'm having a pity party, and I sing the verses, but I lay awake at night, still having a pity party. But somewhere in between the pity party and the reality of the thing, I said, but that's all right, because I know Jesus, he will fix it. That's the part that the devil don't like. The devil love for you to have your pity party, but he don't like that you recognize that I've got faith in God, but that's all right. I'm no Jesus. He gonna fix it after a while. Can you say that tonight? Jesus is gonna fix it after a while. Why? Because you're gonna do what's right and give the consequence to God. I love God. You know, I just do what God tell me to do. For some reason, I was told to park over by Wendy's, or not by Wendy's, park over by Walgreens and wait. But I heard God say, save a lot. Go to save a lot. And I was waiting for someone who had to go to court. I wasn't allowed, of course, in the courtroom. I should have gone because I'm clergy. And they let clergy in to the room. But I sat in the car, and I blessed God for save a lot. I went in. My sister know about these. Some of the rest of you that's listening tonight, I said, I'm going in save a lot and see if I can get me some Roger Wood. And I looked, and I saw Caroline. I said, oh, Lord, I don't want them. Caroline is hot. The sausage are hot. To me, they have no flavor. But that Roger Wood, Lord, I could cook that Roger Wood. I boil him down and let him fry in that pot. Oh, let his skin get some black on it. Get me a slice of bread and take and mash that sausage into that bread with that grease running, Lord, help my cholesterol. And I bite that sausage, Lord, do it taste good. Mother Blondie, that's a good tasting sausage to me. It got flavor. I don't care about all the heat so much. I don't want it too hot. I'm after the flavor. Those Carolines, they can throw them away. But some people like them, but I don't. Give me my Roger Wood. Give me my Roger Wood. And honey, I was tickled pink. I come out of there with two boxes. And when I came out, that's where the Caucasian woman had parked her vehicle next to mine. And I looked at her back window and saw that sign, do right and give the consequences to God. So much so that I told my girlfriend in Georgia, I said, listen to this. And I said, write it down. She said, I'm going to write it down. And I said, no, let me take a picture of it, and I'll send you the picture. And then I looked around after talking with this woman, and she said, God bless you. I said, and you too. And I looked around, and I saw something unusual, something I hadn't seen in years. They got two telephone booths on side of the building wall. And I took a picture of that because I haven't seen a telephone, a payphone. Haven't seen one in years. Now it isn't working, but I guess they just have it there to remind you of, remember back in the day, you had to drop that dime in order to call someone. But you know, the saints of old said, I got to, if you're looking for God, the saints of old said, I got a telephone in my bosom, and I can call him up anytime. And then the saints of old, they sang, Jesus is on the main line. I should open up the line and let my sister sing that for you. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want. If you want your body healed, tell him what you want. If you want your soul saved, tell him what you want. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want. I tell you, if you want the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. We used to sing all this at my church on the hill, King's Chapel, Church of God in Christ. Oh, bless his name. Pastor was Dr. Joseph A. King, founder of the King's Chapel Church of God in Christ in Southampton, Long Island, New York. That's my roots, my heritage. That's where I heard about Jesus. Oh, bless his name. If you want your soul saved, tell him what you want. Call him. Call him. Call him. Call him. Call him. And tell him what you want. I am excited tonight. I'm not going to be long. I'm getting ready to read. And I know it's hot. It's summertime. I want you to listen to this passage of scripture. Miss our mother Janie tonight. This is the first of the month. She's not with us on the first Wednesday and the second Wednesday. She joins us the third Wednesday of the month. But I thank God for you, 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 and you, Mother Janie, in her absence. Our precious Mother Blondie, I believe she lost some loved ones last week. Excuse me. And to you and you and all of you that have someone that you love and you lost, we thank God for Jesus on tonight. And we thank Jesus for his blood. Now, I know I'm not sleepy, so I don't know why I'm trying to yawn in the middle of my program. Oh, bless his name. Call him up. Tell him what you want. I listen to people say, pray for me. But you know what? We need to learn how to call him up for ourselves. Tell him what you want. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. I was listening to a young lady on the phone Monday, and she wasn't my business. She was talking to someone else, which they had their phone on speaker, and this young lady was telling this person that we all have to die from the moment you're born, even though you're getting older, you're dying. So she just kept on saying, we all have to die. No escaping death. We all have to die. And I think preachers are guilty of that statement because they use it at a funeral service and they want to help the family relax and feel better because at that moment their hearts are very heavy. So by the preacher saying over the pulpit, said, you know, we all have to go, just like you see Sister Mary Kay laying out here, we all have to one day do like Sister Mary Kay. Or he will say, you know, just like Brother George Raymond laid out here, one day we all gonna have to do like Brother George Raymond. So people hear that and they grab that without checking the Word of God to see what it says. So I just listened because, one, I didn't want an argument. Two, it was not my conversation. Three, it was none of my business. That conversation was between them. So I didn't get in it. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to cry. There's a time to be born and a time to die. It's a time to be quiet and listen. And that was my time to be quiet. Because, you see, I know better. And this lady doesn't go to anybody's church. I don't know the last time she saw what the inside of a church looked like. So I wasn't about to get in no dispute with her over the word of God. But I said, God, I'm going to talk about that on the program Wednesday night. And I need you all to pray for me because I have a eulogy to do on Friday. A dear friend of mine passed away, and he and I are the exact same age. In fact, we always fight verbally about who is the oldest. And I am the oldest. You all know my birthday is April the 24th and the 24th of April. Well, his birthday is April 24th, 24th of April. And we would fight over who is the oldest. And, of course, I told him, I am older than you, Aaron, because I was born April 24th in the morning. You wasn't born until near the evening, so I am older than you by hours. And we would go at it back and forth, and his wife would just laugh at us. And even at our 62nd birthday, it was my party that my husband, Mr. Sherman, threw for me. And, of course, we had to invite my birthday guy, and he and his wife came. And I had him sitting right next to me because it was his birthday, too. And we are sitting at the table arguing back and forth, who's the oldest? We had a grand time. And his wife asked me if I would officiate, be the officiant for his homegoing because my birthday didn't go to church often, I'll put it that way. I don't know what he did when he was a child, but I don't recall seeing him in church at his adult age. So, but however, just because I didn't see him don't mean he didn't go. That's the problem with us today. Because we don't know a thing, we want to criticize, but God sees it all. My sister loved that song, I Serve a God Who Knows It All. Well, we have a God that know it all. We don't know what's in someone's heart. We don't know what's in their heart. We don't know the bathroom time that they spend. It could be in tears like I was this morning. My bathroom time was my tear time. I began to weep about some situations and some circumstances. Nobody saw me or even heard me in the bathroom weeping. But, you know, God saw me. And God heard what was in my heart. It went up to him. So we cannot sit in judgment because we don't know what that person has said to our God. And we're just going to give God the praise tonight, and all the glory belong to the Lord. I don't stop talking. It'll be 8 o'clock in a minute. Let's read the book. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, T-H-E-S-S. Just look at in that New Testament for T-H-E-S-S. Thessalonians. The first chapter, write it down. I mean, not the first chapter, the fourth chapter. First Thessalonians. So when you hear somebody say first, it means that there's another one. So we have first and second Thessalonians, but I'm reading from 1 Thessalonians. Let's read. Furthermore, then we beseech ye, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. I know somebody don't like me tonight. No sex unless you're married to the person you're having sex with. Because if I say as long as you're married, it's okay for you to have sex, well, you might go over here and that's not your wife, so, or that's not your husband. So it's okay for you to have sex with your spouse. Let me put it that way. I had a spouse. He's deceased. And I was my spouse's spouse. So it was okay for us to come together in the eyesight of God. Marriage is honorable in all, and our bed is undefiled. But if you are not married and you have sex outside of marriage, the Bible calls it fornication. And God is not pleased with fornication. People don't have a problem with fornication because we're excited when our unmarried children have children. We're not looking at the sin that was committed. Thou shalt not commit fornication. We're only looking at, as one girl called her baby, she was 19, carrying a baby, and she said, my bundle of joy. But God sees it as fornication. Oh, bless his name. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust sense and concupiscence, comma, even as the Gentiles which know not God. See, people do this stuff when you don't know God. So don't tell me, oh, I know God, honey. I know God, and you commit this. The Bible says you don't know him. Now, who you going, who, oh, what you going to do when it come for you? Oh, my God, what you going to do when it come for you? You going to tell her, well, God, I thought it was all right. I had Pastor Benjamin to break it down for you. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. There's some good word here. Word of God is right. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness or uncleanness, but unto holiness. So we say it's okay, because God forgives. But my Bible reads that it ain't okay. It is not right, because God has called you unto holiness, not unto uncleanness. Verse number 8 says, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God. Some of you have never heard this before, have you? Wonder why? Because your pastor doesn't read from this book, from the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians? Is that why you haven't heard it? Because your pastor haven't read this? I know we got some pastors only like to talk about Moses and the burning bush and Noah and the ark and the Hebrew boys and the fiery furnace. And the big one they like is the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And after that, they will tell you about Jonah. But there's a lot of Bible here, 66 books. And they don't mess with all 66 books. I don't know if it's because they're afraid. I don't know if it's because they don't understand it. Or I don't know if because they're not living it, they don't talk. Because, see, I can't preach to you about fornication and I'm doing it myself. I can't preach to you about being unclean when I'm unclean myself. I can't preach to you about being holy when I'm not holy. So some things, they just run their hand right across and leave it alone. That's why you need to pick up your Bible in your house and read for yourself. But it's okay if you rely on your pastor, because your pastor's going to have to give an account to God for misleading you. And you're going to have to give an account to God because you didn't try to find out if the Bible was right. All right, we're moving right along. Not hooping tonight. I'm teaching tonight. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Oh, somebody lying here now. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. 10 says, and indeed ye do it towards all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech ye, brethren, that ye increase more and more. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business. There you go, running your mouth like I said earlier. You don't know what that bathroom conversation was like between Brother Pumpkin Seed and Sister Cucumber. You don't know when Jesus met the woman at the well who came to draw water, and Jesus told her, I am, Janine, I am the living water. If you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. It wasn't a natural drink. It was a spiritual thing. Get me on the inside of you. I can fulfill your every need. I can take care of your thirst. Because you're thirsty for me and you don't realize it, because you keep laying with all these fellas, all these men. Where are your husband, woman? She said, I have no husband. Jesus said you had five of them, and the one you got now, it ain't even yours. Because according to the scripture, the one that you lay with, that's your husband, or or your wife. So none of us is with our husband or wife. That means the first person you laid with as husband and wife, because that's who's supposed to be laying together, is husband and wife. So when you took on the form of being husband and wife and not legally married, that's who you was married to, according to scripture. Some of you never heard that either. I know. That's why Pastor Patricia is telling you tonight. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Remember, I told you I'm going to tell you about this. That ye sorrow not. You don't have to cry and fall out and drag the wheel of the casket on the way out to church. And, oh, you know how you do, some of you all. Doesn't make sense. But it said that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. My mother passed away and my heart was sad. I had no more mother. But I had a hope in me that I know my mom went home to be with Jesus. So therefore, I didn't have to fall out and go spend the night at the graveyard hollering and hooping and carrying on. I could say, Mother, you earned your rest. You walk the walk, you talk the talk, and you live the life. Take your rest. No more sickness in your body. No more bed sores. They call them ulcers now. No more pain when I turn her over to change her or to bathe her. The cry from her bones hurting to touch. Mother, you earned your trip home. You bought your ticket a long time ago when Jesus went to Calvary and came back. You purchased, he purchased your salvation, but you purchased your ticket by saying, yes, Lord. I say yes to your will and to your way. So therefore, I said, God, I thank you. My mama is gone. You took my mama, but I tell you, thank you. Because her suffering has ended. And she's gone to a place where there's no nighttime, there's no death, there's no sickness. No sorrow, no pain, no suffering, no nothing. That has to be good. God knows in heaven that has to be good. Lord Jesus. Woo! You don't even have a craving for an ice cream cone. That has to be good. I talked with my sister a few days ago, and she told me she almost going to make me drive about 35 miles because I'm not near Sonic's. It's about 28 miles from me, sissy. And my sister told me, she said, sissy, I stopped at Sonic and got me an ice cream cone. She said, my God, that ice cream cone at Sonic is good. And I started thinking, we used to have two Sonics here in Dover, but they went out. But there's one in Bridgeville. I might take a little ride down and check the ice cream out at Sonic. But in heaven, Jesus got it so sweet there. You don't even want an ice cream cone. You don't crave none of the earthly stuff. All you do is just want Jesus. Oh, how nice that is. You is following him on that bumper sticker. Do you follow him this close? My God, I love it. I love it. I thank God. That was the highlight for me today from the time I prayed in the bathroom this morning and going to that parking lot to wait. That was the highlight of my day. Those two symbols on that one car made a difference. Ah, bless God tonight. My time is almost up. Every time I say I'm going to get finished early, I get the yapping and miss out. But I would not, I'm going back to 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which, listen to verse 14, which sleep in Jesus. It's a difference. Those that sleep in Jesus. My mother is asleep in Jesus. Listen, them that are asleep in Jesus, will God bring with him? That's verse 14. First Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Read it. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, listen now, I'm talking to those that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, check it out, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You hear that? That's verse 16. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now listen to this. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Doesn't matter whether you've been cremated or not. If you died in Christ, when he shout loud and that trump shall sound, the dead in Christ is going to get up out that grave. So now you know that movie they made, The Night of the Walking Dead? Look out. Because the dead in Christ going to get up out that. I don't care if they've been there since 1910. Ain't nothing there but bone. They sing a song, them bone, dry bone, and in school they're talking about the hip bone connected to the, some kind of bone, and the ankle bone connected to the, I can't remember all them bones, but they had all them bones connected. You remember the song, Google it, and that's how, look, let me tell you something. Those bones are going to get up, you hear me? Because the Bible says that the dead in Christ is going to rise first. And those that died and they were not in Christ is not getting up with that shout, the voice of an archangel. That's what it said. Will we read it again? No? Okay. So you're going to read it for yourself? All right. Go on. Help yourself. But I'm going to read it anyhow. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's pretty loud. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Number 17, this is where the young lady is having the conversation, talking about everybody's got to die. And from the moment we're born, we're starting to die. Now, that is true. Even though we're getting older, we're still getting closer to disappearing from the earth. But listen to verse number 17. Now, then you heard 16, that the dead in Christ is going to get up first. So don't be surprised if you go riding down the street and see somebody you know that died, and they say, Lord, I declare that man looked like Joe Blow. If Joe Blow heard that trump and that voice, loud sounding voice, as an archangel, and heard that trump sound, and you see him walking and say, Lord, that man looked just like him. You better find out whether Jesus is blowing the trump, because they said the dead in Christ going to get up first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse number 18 closes it out. So wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them cloud. See, because he told you back here, and the other verse that he had some folk, I think it was verse 15. Well, let's read 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which are asleep, which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. See, he's going to have them with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's coming down, y'all. With a shout, woo, with the voice of the archangel. Boy, that's going to be a voice, do you hear me, to get them dead folks up out that ground. And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we, which are alive. So in other words, you did not die. Jesus is bringing them with him, but now he's coming for you because you are one of his, but death did not take you out to the grave. So now Jesus got to come and get you. After he get them out of the grave that went before you because you're still alive, he got those with him. Now he getting them up out the grave. Now he got to come get you because you're alive. Them which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. See, so that's telling you, he's got the other ones. Now you got to meet up with them in the air because he's got them. But you're still here on planet Earth because you're alive. they got to come get you. Lord Jesus. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them that's in the clouds. I got to put some music on now. Listen, listen. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him, be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I read this, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. It's only 18 verses. Take your time and read it. Let it sink in. God is good, and God is worthy to be praised. I thank the Lord for this day, that it has come to a close. I paid two bills today, and I bless God for having the money to do that, because I know folk that don't have any money in their pocket. This is John P. Key. It's past 8 o'clock. To God be the glory. Bless all of you. May he touch your body. May he heal you. May he make you whole in Jesus' name. Remember to seek the Lord while he can be found. Call upon him while he is near. Take time to read your Bible and trust God for everything that you need. This is John P. Key playing Oh Happy Day. When Jesus washed my sins away. And we'll close out. It's after 8. Listen to this.
Everybody, we come to give thanks to the Lord for his goodness unto us. Come on, we thank the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness to me. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness to me. For
Good night, everyone. Go and enjoy the rest of your evening. May you have a peaceful sleep on tonight. Remember to anoint your head with oil. If you don't have any oil, then you take and get you some water, and you put some water, a few drops, in your head and tell God thank you for the miracle. Do this, and God will answer you. Be obedient. Use the olive oil if you have it. And if you don't have it, if it hasn't been blessed, if you don't have it, then use the water, God said. And put some on your forehead or drop a few drops in your head. David said, thou anointed my head and my cup runneth over. Have a good night. I love you all. Bless you.